Hi everyone, welcome back to the Little Green Pasture. Praise the Lord. Praise our good and awesome God. We just love Him so much, don't we? That's why we're all here in the Little Green Pasture where the Chief Shepherd dwells. Well, before I get started, I am going to pray. And I pray that this message will be a blessing to you, and that you'll be comforted and be filled with hope in the God of hope. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ, for the easy access to you, Lord, for the joy of our salvation, for your kindness that's always stretching forth to us, for your long patience for us, especially those of us who've gone a long way. Thank you, Lord, that your loving kindness, it truly is better than life. I ask that you will be with my mouth today, and just not with my mouth, Lord, but with my heart. And let your living waters flow forth out of my belly. I submit myself to you and commit all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so, you know, this morning I got up and I was in prayer, and I really believe I'm on a new path with the Lord. In fact, I know it. Every now and then, we're going to come to a place where the two paths meet, where we know there's a different direction, a different way, a way that we have not gone before. Like it says in Isaiah, He will lead the blind by a way they have not known. And the path of the just is like the shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. And there is a way that I know that I'm going, and countless thousands of others have gone before me and before you. And I call it growing heavenward, because I can feel it. And there is a subduing, and there is a calm and a quiet. And that quietness isn't just I'm not talking. It's something happening in my spirit. A quiet habitation within. A truly walking with Christ by still waters, where He's speaking to me and I'm listening. I'm reminded of a dream I had a couple years ago or longer. In my dream, I saw myself. Some of you have heard this dream before, but I want to say it again. In my dream, I saw myself walking on a little dirt path out in the country. And there was rushing mighty waters next to me. And I'm a simple girl. I just wear my, you know, we're here in the coast with my rainbow sandals. So I'm wearing my sandals and my jeans and a t-shirt. And I'm just like walking along, and I'm just looking at the nature, and I'm looking at the rushing mighty waters. As I was going, I felt something happening. Something was changing. And all of a sudden, I just kind of looked down like this, because I saw something was changing about me. All of a sudden, the clothes I was wearing were transforming before me. Right before my very eyes, I remember going like this, and even like this. I was looking down, I was looking at my clothing, and they turned into brilliant white garments, like a garment that was plain and simple and shining. I couldn't believe it. As I was walking, that was happening to me. And because I was looking down like this, I couldn't believe it. I was starting to look up and I saw these feet in front of me. And then I saw, and I looked up and I saw the Lord. Now, his face was hidden from me. So I'm not going to be like, what did he look like, Joni? I don't know. I just know it was him. And I saw his feet and it was quiet. And as soon as all the gar my clothing turned into white garments, I looked at his feet, I looked at him, and then I looked at the water, and now it was just this calm water going by me. And he went like this with his hand, and there was this big log, and he went like this as a motion to have a seat. So I sat down, and he sat down next to me, and it was quiet. The whole thing was quiet. And I sat there and I just breathed in this quietness, this peace, this calm going into me. And I knew in my dream before I woke up, I said, this is the quiet waters. And the Lord was, and I woke up and I thought to myself later on about those words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And the Lord, and this was during a time there's a lot of frenetic stuff going on in my life, and I was exhausted and overworked and underpaid and still wounded, still healing. But it was Jesus showing me the still waters are in your soul. And as we're walking day by day, we're walking day by day, and each day is another day towards our eternal home in heaven. I love how Amy Carmichael says, heaven is not a dream. And that God looks upon heaven as a great meadow. You know, this morning I was praying to God and I was talking to him about things I was afraid of because I had a hard past. And I felt like I couldn't go any further. Like I just hit a brick wall and I said, I confess to you, Lord. I am afraid because of all the things that happened to me, and I confess it to you, and I'm not strong, I'm weak. And I know you've been wonderful to me, and you've been so good to me in every way. I have nothing to complain about and no reason to be afraid, but I said, Lord, I'm like a damaged old car that was been being driven since 1962. There's dents and scratches and bangs and crunched fenders, and I'm still driving the jalopy, and it's still running. I said, and I was just telling him, but I gotta confess it to you. I gotta confess it to you, Lord. And I just really just, I call it my prayer of truth I have every once in a while where I just go, I'm putting everything aside. I gotta be real. And I confessed. I mean, I just like opened up and I did that a couple days ago, but I felt there was more that he really wanted me to say. Like what I said to him 2 days ago was, okay, that's good, but I want what's in you. I want that. So out with it. And so I did. I got before him and I just let it hang out. And I said, okay, I admit it. I'm afraid. I'm afraid, Lord. I'm afraid because of what happened to me. Because of how I was this and that. And I didn't even go down the list of what happened to me. He knows what happened to me. And I told him, I'm sorry. I admit it. I'm weak. And I am afraid, but I don't want to be afraid. I want to be all yours. Like I'm always telling you, Lord, I submit myself to you. I give myself over to you completely. And I've been praying that to him constantly. And he is dealing with me. And he was, and so as I, and as so I just stayed in prayer until it ended. And it just kind of ended abruptly. And I got my Bible out. And I happened to be in the book of Colossians, and I was reading it, and so I started in chapter one. I read through the entire book. I just couldn't put it down. And so when I got to Colossians chapter three, what struck me is what he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And I saw that word fit in the Lord, as it is fit into the Lord. And I knew God wasn't speaking to me about Jonathan, my husband. He was talking to me about submitting to him. And then it goes on to say, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, and so on. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you have a master in heaven. And it just hit me. Wives, submit. Husbands, love. Children, obey. Fathers, provoke not. Servants, obey. Masters, give. But it started with wives. In Ephesians, it starts like that too. Verse 5:21. Wives, submit unto your husbands. And this isn't about the earthly marital union. That's not what God was speaking to me about today. He was talking directly to me as his body, because this book of Colossians has a lot to say about his body. For, you know, it says, you could look it up about the body. We are the body of Christ, and so on and so forth. And he goes on and he's teaching us about his body. And so Paul sets it up before we even get to chapter 3. In chapters 1 and 2, he's talking about the body of Christ. The body of Christ died. So Christ's death of his body is the life of your body. You're in his body. Now you live his life. And then, but see, what the Holy Spirit was showing me today is, see, recently I've been feeling all of these old things I have been struggling with. And I thought, what is happening to me? Well, I've been around for a long time. And I know that whenever these things come to the surface, and they have all my life, I know it's because he's forcing it to the surface, because it keeps me from doing three things that it says wives are to do. And I'm not talking about husband. This is for you that are single and you that are married. This is for everybody that is born again, that belongs to Jesus Christ. So please get it out of your head. He's using this as an allegory in Ephesians, but in Colossians, yes, he's giving real-time instructions for real places in life as wives, husbands, fathers, servants, and masters. But he's talking in Ephesians about the body of Christ, and we are his body, but he begins with wives in both places. Some of you believe in the body of Christ is just the body of Christ and not the wife of Jesus. And some people believe that we are the bride of Christ. And I'm not going to go into that today. I have my own beliefs about what we are. And I believe that what the point is that God was showing to me is, and maybe to you, is this. He showed me three things, starting with Ephesians, wives submit, right? But it says that there are husbands, which is Christ, is to be had in reverence to him. So I saw reverence, submission, subjection in all things. He was showing me things I have not been able to have success in those three things. And I got up and I was walking around the house and I had things to do. And so this message I'm giving was like developing like over like 2 or 3 hours. And then I heard oppression, affliction, and sorrow. Reverence. Submission. Subjection. Oppression, affliction, and sorrow. And the things he asked me, what are things in you? And let me ask you this as if he's asking you too through me. What is in your life that's keeping you from reverencing Jesus? What is in you that's keeping you from submission, from giving full all out submission to him? Is there anything in you that's keeping you from total subjection to Jesus Christ and everything? He asked me first. And I had to confess, because there's things that I have that became part of my personality. And part of that was I can be contentious, thin-skinned, quick to the draw on things, to assume. To sometimes think not the worst of others, but to jump to wrong conclusions, to be hasty with my feet, and then it causes sin. And I realized, Lord, there are things in me, these things in me. I mean, I got down and I said, I confess it to you. And there was, it felt so good. And I said, I'm only confessing to this to you. And as hard as it is to say it, I said, I choose to say it. Because, Lord, I don't want to be like Absalom, who was brought back after he left. He was brought back by Joab, but he spent 2 years not seeing his father's face. And then I was reading something that Amy was saying about that, Amy Carmichael, that is. And she said, she connected it with Bartimaeus's cloak. She said, Bartimaeus threw off that old cloak and ran to Jesus and saw his face. And I thought about those words she spoke, and I said, like a question was being asked to my own self, what cloaks are you wearing that you need to cast off? What are you going to do with those cloaks? You know, I do get to a point. Yeah, I find that as I'm getting older, I think to myself, it's like holding on to a pair of shoes you wore 15 years ago. It's like you look at them one day and you go, what am I going to do with those shoes? They're outdated. They're funky. They don't even fit my feet anymore, but I'm keeping them because for some reason I kept them. I remember once I wore a dress to a funeral. I could never wear that dress again. I chucked it. Even though it was super pretty, every time I put it on, I remembered that terrible funeral of somebody I went to who did themselves in. I couldn't bear to look at that. And I thought, that's how it's got to be, where I throw off a funeral garment that I wore to somebody's death, a bad one. Where I thought, I got to hate that which is in me to the, why would I want to keep it? Yet somehow I keep it as some little pet, you know? I know, but it offended me. I know, but you know, Lord, that's how I, you know, it hurt my feelings. And I thought, how is the Lord ever going to fully use you unless you die? You know, Jesus says, if you will be my disciples, take up your cross. He says, you take it up. He's not, no one's going to hand it to you. I thought to myself, no one's going to hand it to you, Joan. And you got to pick it up knowing what you're picking up. And the cross is heavy. Even Jesus needed help from that man, Simon of Cyrene, to carry his cross. And do we expect our cross to be any lighter? You know, I thought about that. Wives, submit yourselves into your husbands as is fit in the Lord. And then I thought about what it says in Luke 9, I think it's 36, where it says, he that putteth his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And then it dawned on me, I realized what Jesus was saying to me today. I want you to be fit, Joni. I'm not going to pat your hand and say, oh, I know it was so hard. Yeah, I remember too what they did to you, what was said. It doesn't do that. Think about what happened to Joshua. Joshua went out to war against Ai and they were chased back to their camp. A bunch of people died. 34 of his greatest warriors died Joshua runs back and he gets several men, and they go and they tear their clothes, they put on sackcloth and throw ashes on their head, and they begin to cry out to God all night and day. Oh Lord, had we stayed on the other side Jordan, so on and so forth. And they were wailing before the Lord, and God didn't say anything to him except, Joshua, why are you lying on your face like that? Get thee up. I have delivered the enemy into thine hand. And by the way, behold, there is sin in thy camp. And I thought about that today. I thought, there's things in my tent that have been buried there too long that need to be pitched out and purged. And then the power comes in. You know, when I heard those words, reverence, submission, subjection in all things, those words, oppression, affliction, and sorrow, came into my mind about 45 minutes later or so. That's from Psalm 107. And it says, oppression, affliction, and sorrow came because after God had delivered them many times, they forgot his word. And then they fell into iniquity again. And then they were subject to oppression, affliction, and sorrow. And so I felt the Holy Spirit teaching me today, saying, when you reverence the Lord fully, you give up, you allow, when you give up, when you reverence the Lord, affliction will leave you. When you submit completely to the Lord, affliction will not rise up again the second time. And when you are in subjection completely to the will of your Father in heaven, sorrow and sighing will flee away. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It talks about husband's love. It doesn't say wives' love. It says wives submit, husbands love, children obey, servants obey. And really, are we not all those things to the Lord? You know, I have noticed lately in the things that I've been faithful to do, to die to, I've noticed the Lord changing my life. Nothing that you guys can see, but things I can see with these eyes. Christ is our master. It says, masters give. Therefore, we give him all. For Christ is all and in all. And we forbear one another. And we're forgiving one another. That's what we're called to do. And we let the love, the bond of, we put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness, meaning maturity. And then the peace of God rules in our hearts, to which you're also called. In one body, being thankful. Everything that husbands are described of, Christ is to you. And he will wash you with the water of his word. He will nourish and cherish you. He'll defend you. He will protect you. I, as a wife, there's little things like maybe I'm coming out of the kitchen and Jonathan says, oh, hey, can you get this for me? And I'm like, oh, I was just in there. I'm working on it. And I will overcome that because I'm going to exercise myself in a godliness. But you know what I'm doing it to? It says, whatsoever things you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. And you know, some of you might be married to somebody who's very difficult, mean, even awful. I know people, women write to me. I don't hear from men. I had a couple of men write to me before, but I know you're out there. So let this apply to you. You know, you that are the Christian in the house, in the marriage, and you're married to somebody who keeps abusing you. Obviously, don't stay in a marriage if you're being beaten, your kids are being abused. There's ways out that God will make you been called to live in peace. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But if you're in a situation where your husband, maybe he's not super mean to you, but he wants nothing to do with the Lord, but he's treating you good, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says, if a husband marry a wife that's not a believer and vice versa, if they be pleased to dwell with each other, then let them do so, so their children will be called be holy. But you know, what I really want to share with you today is this. You're on an ever-increasing journey to home. And the people you live with, everything, all that your life is entailed with and sometimes entangled with is part of the journey. And it's only making you better. I was talking to someone this morning and I was talking about a certain person in my life that went all the way back to my teenage years. And I was telling him, I was saying, you know, there's this girl, I tried to be friends with her and she would never like me. No matter how much I would try to show her I was her friend and I'd go out of my way. And then through the years, like we somehow stayed in some kind of a unhealthy relationship. And then she went all full bore and went out and just slandered my name. I had no idea what was going on. I'm hearing it from secondhand, yet I'd see her face to face and it was, hi, how's it going? And I wouldn't say anything because I didn't want to. And she did that. And it brought such great woundedness to me. Well, I'm healed and she's forgiven. And we even met one day and it was okay. It was okay. But the wound is still there because in that meeting, there was no, I'm sorry I hurt you. There was no talk. And it even made it feel worse. So, you know, what do I do with that pain? What do we do with that pain? We take it to the Lord in prayer. See, the Lord doesn't want you to be married to anybody else. He doesn't want you to be married to your pain. He doesn't want you to become one with it. He doesn't want you to become one with your negative bad habit. He doesn't want you to become, and that's all the works of the flesh. It's in the flesh, you know. It says that we're joined in one flesh with people we marry. But you know, our soul can be joined in unhealthy ways to the souls of other people. Don't become one with what's in you that has no business being in there, like the sin in the camp. Dig it out. Remember, they had to dig it out, the Babylonian silver and garments in the tent of that man. It caused everybody else. It caused a bunch of death and chaos and destruction. That's how serious God takes it. But you see, he'll dig it out of you. You can start by digging it out yourself. It's your tent. Just go to the Lord. You don't have to put on sackcloth and ashes. Just go to him and say, I dug up what's buried in my tent. And there are these filthy Babylonian-ish garments and silver of the enemy stolen. And it doesn't belong to me. And I heave it from me. I ask you, Jesus. No, before you ask him, tell him, I am mean. But don't say it just to confess it. Say it knowing that he's going to take it from you, that it will be the moment that he takes it from you. He does not want you to be one with what's buried inside of you anymore. He wants complete ownership of your house. That's why it is hard to give complete reverence, submission and subjection unto Jesus Christ in everything. And don't try to eke out some kind of a performance. Look, there comes a point where God says, look, no more performances. I'm going to make you genuine for it. I'm going to make you real for it. You think that the same God that did that for everybody else in the Old Testament, that same God is the same God that will do it for you and is waiting to do it for you. I'm one of them. Hello. Who cares if I've been in the Lord over 45 years? If there's something in my tent buried, I dug it out this morning. And I said, here it is, the filth. And I launched it from me into the all-consuming fire for him to burn it up. And it needs to be burned up. And it needs to be burned up in you. You need to stop owning it. Get rid of the ownership of jealousy, of envy, of pride, of arrogancy, of nitpicking, being thin-skinned, easily offended, gossiping, having pride, jockeying for position. Or how about this? Being too introspective, always whipping yourself. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I didn't say it right. Oh, I didn't pray long enough. Oh, I didn't read enough scriptures. Let it go. Look at what all of us have done. You guys, I want nothing to do with it. I want to be literally the simpleton of blind Bartimaeus, where I let the cloak go by while I race to Christ and I can see him and I follow him just like he did. That simple. And we do so much to ourselves, or it has got to grieve him. So go to the Lord, disown all the garbage in you. God knows what happened to you in your life. He sees what happens every day. God's not looking at your high-performance Christianity. High-performance Christianity is postmodernism. It's about, you know, how many times I've been to church, how many times I read the word each week, how many times I fast and pray during the week. I want to be the guy that beats his chest next to the Pharisee and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. All of a sudden, it starts to seem wonderful to be literally that blade of grass that we're called that we are. Or the mist that is here today and gone tomorrow. A vapor that passeth away. Or a flower quickly fading. It just seems so wonderful to me to be like what Jesus says. Consider the lilies of the field, meaning the wildflowers. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I feel myself changing. I changed paths recently, and I know Jesus has me on a new path. It's the path called heavenward. And he wants fit people on that path. And it begins to submit yourself to Jesus Christ, the head of the body, and to reverence him and to be in subjection to him in everything. And you're not going to be able to do it until you dig it out of your tent, the garbage that's been there too long. And everything that's around you that opposes you, blocks you, hinders you, gets in your way, leave it to the Lord. He rewards obedience, and he'll take care. You watch and see. He'll take care of everything. And secondly, he'll make you genuine for it. You know, this morning, I felt the Holy Spirit come down upon me so powerfully. It was still dark. Everybody was still sleeping. And I said these words, I have decided to follow you, Jesus. And I was singing those songs until I started just saying the words without singing it. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back. No, Lord, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow you, Lord. Though none go with me. So I will follow you. No turning back. No turning back. And then I felt such a force of power, and I said, the cross before me, the world behind me. I've decided to follow you, Jesus. And I began to say those words over, the cross before me, the world behind me. And I began to raise my hands, the cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. And I know that you are leading me into the city whose builder and maker is God. The cross before me, the cross before you, the world behind you. No turning back. No turning back. Amen.